Lancaster Baptist Podcast features the dynamic preaching and teaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, the senior pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church. The purpose of this podcast is to help others love God, grow together through the teaching of God's Word, and serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
Galatians 4 and verses 19 and 20. Let's read both of these verses, and I'll preach from verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Would you read verse 19 with me, please? Ready, begin. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Shall we pray? Lord, we ask in these upcoming moments in our service that you would help us to understand the importance of this one single verse, to understand your will, that we would be made conformable to the image of Christ. I pray that as a church family, we would continue to grow into your likeness. And I pray that this message would be a tool toward that end. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we enter our 25th year, and as we actually approach the 26th year, the 25th celebration, my heart for our church remains the same as it was that very first Sunday night. When I think of our church collectively, I remember standing and preaching Philippians 1:27. And I remember preaching that we would strive together with one mind and with one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And I was 24 years old. I had some basic Bible doctrine, but had never pastored full time in that way. And I remember telling the small group of folks there that Sunday night that I was going to do my best to be faithful to the Word of God. And I remember saying to some of those folks that I would ask for them to follow me and encourage me in the work of the Lord, that if I ever failed morally or doctrinally, they should not follow me, but that as long as I was being faithful to the Word and to my wife and to the Word of God, 1 Timothy 3, that I would sure appreciate their support over the years of ministry. That's why those folks who stood up here a moment ago are such a blessing, and some that you'll meet next week too. And as I preached that night from Philippians 1:27, I spoke in terms of the church collectively striving together for the faith of the gospel. And certainly that has been our heart, and certainly God has blessed that philosophy. But tonight, I share with you a scripture the Lord gave to me several years later that really isn't just for the whole church, but it is more for the individuals within the church. It's a verse that every one of us personally should really contemplate as it concerns the matter of the will of God for our lives. For here the Apostle Paul says in verse 19, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." Until Christ be formed in you. We know the scriptures say that it is the will of God, Romans 8:29, that we would be conformed to the image of His Son. And yet here it says that He would be formed in us, that we would be transformed into His likeness. Sometimes you may wonder, how do you measure a church? Is it by the stained glass window? Is it by the steeple? Is it by architecture? Is it by who is a member of the church? Is it by the accomplishments of the church? And I truly believe tonight the real measure of a church is by the measure of Christ-likeness, by the evidence of Christ-likeness within each individual member. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 2, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Paul said to the church at Corinth, "You are our epistle, written in hearts, known and read of all men." So the effectiveness of Lancaster Baptist Church cannot even be known by the size of our Sunday night attendance. It cannot be known by the enrollments of our school or college. For there are many churches with beautiful facilities, with multifaceted ministries, yet the members, by and large, are not living out the life of Christ. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ is living through me. And I say to you tonight, the measure of the greatness of Lancaster Baptist Church is how real it all is in your life and mine tomorrow and Tuesday. And how effective our witness is throughout the normal days of what we call life. Now tonight, other than my own family, nothing matters more to me than seeing Christ formed in your hearts and lives, than seeing the fruit of the ministry in the lives of the members of Lancaster Baptist Church. I mean, I love everything about this church ministry. I've been walking around. Yesterday I walked out to the new sign. I put a ball cap on. I didn't have to do that when I came years ago. I had natural covering. But I put a ball cap on and some sunscreen and I went out, and those fellas working on the sign, they spoke not a word of English, but I talked to them anyways. And I was saying stuff to them like, keep working. It's kind of hot out here, isn't it? But don't get discouraged. And they're just looking at me like, who's this nut, you know? And I said to him, I said, I'm the pastor. I'm the pastor of the church. And tried to invite him to church as best I could in Spanish. And I was interested in that sign and interested in everything between here and the sign, and took note of some of the details out around the property. And I'm interested in this property, and I'm interested in the ministries of the church. Don't get me wrong, but I want you to know that nothing interests me more than seeing fruit in the lives of the membership of this church, you see. When Paul comes to Galatians 4:19 and 20, he is appealing through his affection for them that they would be conforming to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ would be seen in and through them. And I want to take a few minutes tonight to remind you about this process and to remind you about the importance of all of us growing spiritually, not just for the first 25 years, but until the Lord comes or calls us home, that we would be faithful in growing into His likeness, that we would not look at a member next to us and say, well, I'm a little better than them, or another church down the road, we're a little better than them, but that we would remember the goal of Christianity is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, if you would, tonight in our message, the process for maturity. Verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again. Now, the process for maturity involved the travailing, the laboring of a man of God in the midst of a city called Galatia. And it was in that city where the Apostle Paul had gone once before. He had preached the gospel. Souls had been saved. But now, a group known as the Judaizers had come in. They had essentially said to the new Christians, Jesus is great, Paul's message was fine, but you need to still keep the works of the law, whether that was circumcision or regarding the temple feast, regarding the Passover. They were not simply to trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, the Judaizers said. And so Paul, who had travailed in the first place to see them saved, is now travailing again in their lives to see them come back to the truth. Galatians 2 speaks of this. If you'd like to turn back, it says in verse 15 of Galatians 2, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And so this was the process that Paul was involved in: winning people to Christ, discipling them, going back and getting those who were caught by the Judaizers, and bringing them back into the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was an ongoing process of winning and reclaiming and winning and reclaiming people for the sake of the gospel ministry. Now, that process involved, first of all, a personal relationship. A personal relationship. Notice in verse 19 again, it says, my little children. Used figuratively, it reminds us of his concern and his love for this spiritual family, this spiritual body at Galatia. And it was a relationship that he cherished. Now, you go back to the very beginning of Christianity. You go back and watch Jesus Christ, and you'll see that with those early disciples, he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." It has always been a relationship. Over the years, you may hear some cynics say, "Well, you know, they just follow a man, or they're just doing what a man says." And certainly, we're not here to follow a man. But may I remind you of this very simple truth that God has ordained that through human relationships, we learn how to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it was that they were his spiritual children there at Galatia. He had seen them come into the faith. Jesus said to his disciples, "Follow me." Paul, the same here in this relationship, had a heart of love for this church along the way of their growth. Notice in verse 20, the Bible says something concerning this. "I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you." Here we see his desire was not simply to send them an email. He didn't say, "I hope to see you on Facebook. I hope you got my email." He said, "I desire to be present with you." Thank God for communication tools we have. But there's something about one individual opening up the Word of God with another individual or several individuals and expounding and teaching and line upon line, sharing what the Word of God says. And the personal relationship of that is vital. And that's why we believe in the called out assembly called the local New Testament church, where we can have opportunity to develop Bible-based relationships. We're not here surrounding around the common cause of an aircraft or the common cause of some corporate mission. We are here tonight to gather around the common cause of the Word of God in order that we might grow into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. And that takes a personal relationship, my little children. Secondly, this process involves practical labor. It's not something that just happens by osmosis. Notice in verse 19 again, it says, "My little children, of whom I travail." Of whom I travail. Now here we get a glimpse into the agonizing process of church planting. I hear so many times young men talk about church planting and ministry. And it's as if, you know, you buy a kit, you put a sign up, you have a nice little ditty of a song, you get a new outfit, maybe a new set of glasses, and all of a sudden, people just start coming. Well, I've got to tell you something. The ministry has been and always will be travail and agonizing work. I remember when Mrs. Chaplin and I came here to this ministry, and I remember the travail of ministry, knocking on 500 doors a week for 16 straight months, going out, inviting people to church, leading people to Christ, talking to people about the faith, going back on Saturday, trying to get them involved in coming to church on Sunday, having a small house full over every Sunday night, and trying to help people understand why the Bible was the Word of God, why we did not speak in tongues, why we do not believe that the Mormon church has a president who can speak out prophetically. Why we did not believe that the Pope could speak ex cathedra. I mean, going over it and over it and over it. I remember the first time we went to visit Earl and Kay Husband, who visited on our very first Sunday here. I remember going into the husband's home and spending till about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm talking about travail. I'm talking about my wife at home with the kids until 2 in the morning. I'm talking about scripture after scripture and explaining question after question that they had. And thank God for that. But I'm simply saying, if you're really involved in ministry, it's not just opening up a little Sunday school lesson and reading it out and going off and do something else. It's going to take some travail and some labor. I see sometimes young ladies in ministry, they want an award just for getting to church. I'm going to tell you, it takes a little more than that. I thank God for a wife that came into this church house year after year with a baby in her tummy and a baby on her hip and some flannel graph in this arm and some puppets in this arm, armed for battle in children's church, and coming in and laboring and travailing in the lives of the young people. I'm talking about meals that were cooked. I'm talking about visits that were made. I'm talking about soul winning and discipling and nursery. I'm talking about travail. And we live in a day where people want to show up and have 60 minutes of church on a Sunday morning, sing a few little ditties, hear a little bit of a poem, and then go on and live the way they want to live. That is not the way lives are built. That is not the way a church is built. That is not the way a nation will be changed or a community will be touched. And here we see Paul said, "I travailed with you in the ministry." Lehman Strauss, in his commentary on this passage, said the Galatians had already been conceived and brought forth but because of their lapse into legalism, they needed to be restored to the joy and fellowship of the gospel. Christ was in their hearts, but only in a passive way. The blessed Lord was not having his way in their lives. And that's why Paul says that in verse 19, in whom I travail in birth again. Now that's a weird phrase if you think about it. There's not a lady in here who had their baby and then had their baby again. We just don't say it that way. But Paul uses that term to say, and listen to this, sometimes even as you pray for someone and visit them and invite them to church and they didn't get saved, and over a period of time, one sows, one waters, the Lord gives the increase, and finally you see some fruit. Wow, praise the Lord. Then all of that prayer and travail, all of that that you might look at in the sense of ministry, now that same individual that was saved, they get caught up into some false teaching, they get discouraged, and they're sitting at home on their couch, and now we're going to go back again on a Saturday and say, hey, Joe, what's going on? What happened in your life? You seem discouraged. And Paul said it was almost like the birth process twice, getting the church at Galatia back to where they needed to be spiritually. As Brother Schmidt said a moment ago about teenagers, we never give up on teenagers. The fact is, we never give up on anyone so long as there's a glimmer of hope. They're going to have to load a shotgun and say, you Baptists, get out of here. We're going to stay after them and encouraging them in the work of the Lord. That's exactly what Paul was doing. Let me tell you something. No loving parent ever stops agonizing for their children. There's not a parent in here. You may have a 19 or 20 or 30 or 40 year old. There's not a parent who doesn't stop caring, who doesn't stop loving their children. The fact is that we want to continue on, and that's what Paul was saying. He kept on loving them. How have we travailed in ministry? We've travailed in the preaching of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. And the Bible is so clear that we're to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. I want you to understand tonight, I have a friend that I spent some time with just a few hours this week. And he's built a wonderful business, and God's blessed him. And as I was with him earlier in the week, he was sharing with me that he'd had an offer for his business. He says, you know, sometimes it's tempting after several decades to be able to just think that I could sell this and walk away. And that's the fruit of labor. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. I've not labored in something in that same sense of the word. The fact is that the fruit of the labor in the ministry, when you invest in someone's life, when I invest in someone's life, is going to be seen in the fruit of that person's life living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the labor that we have had is not in building equipment. It's not in inventing or some type of fabrication. The labor has been in the study and the preaching of the Word of God. On this platform tonight, you'll find the common notes for somewhere between 10 and 12,000 different sermons that have been preached in the ministry of this church by your pastor standing and preaching in the school chapels, in the college chapels, in the Sunday morning, the Sunday night, the Wednesday night, the staff training, the deacon training, the Sunday school training, the youth worker training, and on it goes. Most books of the Bible are represented here, but I've got to tell you something tonight. This is not the fruit of the ministry. What you do with this is the fruit of the ministry. I've done my best to travail in the Word and to travail in study. But may we tonight have open hearts to continue to listen to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. I'm going to leave these notebooks here tonight. You feel free to come up and you'll see some in 1986. You go, wow, there wasn't much to that. And maybe you'll see one and say, I remember that one. But I can tell you that these have not been prepared just flippantly and on the run, but studying and praying and seeking the face of God, travailing in ministry. I say tonight that we have not only travailed in the Word and in preaching, but we as a church family have travailed in trials. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. And we have seen church family, and we have all experienced various trials, but in 25 years, by the grace of God, we've kept stepping forward a little more and stepping forward a little more, and we've travailed again and again by the grace of God. We've travailed in prayer 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. I'm saying the ministry's not just about showing up. It's about prayer. It's about studying the Word of God. It's about being faithful in the times of trial. And then I think not only tonight of the process of ministry, but I think of the pattern of ministry. Would you notice it again in verse 19? My little children, of whom I travail. There's the process. But notice, of whom I travail again until Christ be formed in you. Now quickly tonight, the pattern for this ministry has never been to get someone to just look or act a particular way. Don't get me wrong. If Christ is in our lives working and there is an inward heart for God, it will affect the outward life, no doubt. But the pattern, first and foremost, has always been the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see that in verse 19. Until Christ be formed in you. Would you say that with me, please? Until Christ be formed in you. It is a Christ-centered pattern. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, the mind of Christ, the life of Christ, the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, until Christ be formed in you. You say, well, don't we have some standards? Every church does. You're not going to let someone come and sing in the platform who's grossly immodest or whose life is not becoming the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the fact is that standards are not the goal. Jesus is the goal. Every leader that's worth his salt will have some biblically based standards and will establish some guidelines of faithfulness. No one that I know who loves the Lord and loves the Bible is going to let someone practicing fornication come and tell everyone how to live for God. They have a standard. We may have a standard in this church that men are going to have a clean haircut if they stand to sing. Someone else may let them have it halfway down the back. But every church, even the ones that make fun of standards, they have standards. I know of no church that lets some lady come and sing in a bikini the special song at the church. Therefore, they have a standard. There may be a little lower standard, but they have a standard. How many of you understand what I'm talking with you about? So we don't apologize for standards, but I say again, standards are not the goal. Christ-likeness is the goal. You know, if someone is growing in the image of Christ, they don't even need a big long list of standards. A spiritual man doesn't want to watch wicked movies. A spiritual man doesn't want to go about with lack of integrity. It's almost silly what you have to tell some people sometimes. If you're going to work with the teenagers, we're going to ask you that you don't do such and so or so and so. And a lot of times the spiritual person says, well, that makes sense. We're going to ask you to be faithful in church. Well, that makes sense, you see. The goal is not the standard. The goal is Jesus Christ. A Christ-centered pattern. Notice, secondly, a Christ-centered purpose. Verse number 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ, notice this now, be formed in you. Now we have the little bumper sticker that's in my pocket right here. And the little bumper sticker is in the shape of a flower. And mine just stuck to itself. I'll try to get it undone here. And the little flower has our church logo, which is growing together in Christ. What does that indicate? Until Christ be formed in you, growing together in Christ. Here we see the term to be formed in us. This expresses the inner man being changed and taking the outer character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's not a person here who's reached full maturity in Christ. All of us are to be growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember a few years ago having the privilege of leading Bill and Marianne Pursley to Christ, and Marianne came in first, and she had called in and wanted an appointment, and Mrs. Furso said, that'd be fine, come on in, and Mrs. Furso came in with her and sat there as I spoke to her. She's the only lady in 25 years of ministry who brought her dog in for the appointment. She had one of those little poodles in a little thing she carried around, and I've never known really what use really poodles had on this planet. Frankly, I haven't figured it out yet, but she was very fond of it. She brought it in.
And she had some questions, and she wanted to know about how to get saved. I had the privilege of leading her to Christ. The next day, I had the privilege of leading her sons to Christ. I think it was about a year later when she became very ill. Bill had called, and we went down to Cedars-Sinai to see if we could have a word of prayer with her. And as we got off the elevator, there was Bill, a big old cowboy fellow in our church, and he had tears just running down his face. And he said, she just slipped away. We had prayer with Bill and tried to encourage him. And we began to plan the funeral service. I was scheduled to preach at a national pastor's meeting, and the Lord told me I needed to cancel that and be here for that service. There were hundreds of unsaved people here that day. But I was thinking this past week about their daughter Ashley, who stood up in this podium as a part of the service, and she told about her mother. And sometimes people kind of, they'll talk quite a little bit there and share some things. And she talked about memories. But then she said this. She said, I remember when my mother started coming to this church, how she changed so much. Now, she didn't know that her mother had made a very important decision at this church. She said, Mom would come over and just sit in the parking lot and listen to the Christian music and get books from the bookstore and read the books from the bookstore. She said, Mom got books on how to witness to Mormons and kept trying to tell her dad the stuff she'd learned at this church. She said, Mom's attitude towards the things at home changed, and everything about Mom changed after she started coming to this church. Folks, that's what you call the fruit of the ministry. Someone's life being changed. Someone coming to the image of Christ. Someone coming to that place where Christ is being formed in them. That is the pattern for ministry. Listen to me very carefully. I don't know that Mary Ann ever understood half the standards that some of the staff or volunteer staff around here might understand. I don't really know that she really properly understood certain things. For all I know, she had some activities that she did or some things that maybe others in the church here would not do. But I know this much. Her heart was right. She was growing in grace. Her life had been changed by the glory of God. And ladies and gentlemen, that is what the ministry is all about. And some of you can look back to when you were changed and when you were saved and when great things were happening in your life. And let me tell you something. Don't stop growing into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Just keep on growing. The process involves a relationship. And then the pattern is Jesus Christ Himself. Then notice finally tonight, the product of ministry. What is the final product of the ministry? Catch it with me if you would in verse 20. He says, or rather verse number 19, until Christ be formed in you. Until Christ be formed in you. Very quickly, I want to expound upon this. First, it involves an inward molding, a work of the heart. Philippians 3:10 says this, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Paul said, I want to know Him. Even if it means suffering, I want to know Him. There was an inward molding of the heart. And then secondly, there was the outward manifestation of the life until Christ be formed in you. And that brings us to Romans 12 in verse 2, where the Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, the true Christian growth is that which comes from the inside out. Now, for example, we have a school and a Bible college. When those young people come to these institutions, we make no mistake about giving them some rules. We tell them they're not to watch certain movies, listen to certain music, they're to have their devotions, they're to stay away from alcohol. There's a list of things like that. No apology at all. That's an outward standard that's given to them. Welcome to college. Here's the rules of the college. But our prayer is that as they conform to the image of Christ, as they grow in the power of the Word of God, the Spirit of God, that they themselves, just as you parents hope for your children, that they themselves will choose holiness. They will choose abstinence from immorality or alcohol. They will choose to be faithful in church. They will choose right entertainment. They will choose the things of God. Watch this. Not because it's a rule, but because they are growing spiritually. And I must say that in 25 years, I have seen some who have said, well, I went along with some rules for a while, but that's not for me. And friend, the fact of the matter is, it is often indicative of a heart that just stopped growing in the Word of God and refused to conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we need today is to grow from the inside out. Hey, if it's just outward conformity, it won't last for long. But the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that we are to be doing the will of God from the heart. The product of ministry is that Christ is formed in us and that we are transformed from the inside out. I remember our youth group going to the Philippines many years ago. I hope they'll go next summer again. They ministered in Iloilo and several places. They sang and they did puppet shows and preaching. And as they were coming back, they were in a hotel in Manila to spend the night and then catch the plane the next day to come home. As they were in the lobby there, our teenagers who were waiting had a very good testimony. Their conduct was becoming of Christ. Their talk and behavior was becoming of Christ. And in the process of checking in, the manager of the hotel came to Dr. Rasmussen, who was with the group, and he said, "Excuse me, sir," he said, "are these teenagers Christians?" Dr. Rasmussen said, "Well, yes, they are." And he said, "Well, I thought there was something about them that was different." And the man said to Dr. Rasmussen, "Could you tell me what is the difference between Catholic and Christian?" Dr. Rasmussen was glad to tell him the difference between just Catholic and Christian. And after about 30 minutes, he led that hotel manager to Christ. And I believe from the depths of my heart in the power of an outward testimony that is born from a heart of spiritual growth. And the tragedy is that many churches have created such an environment that that question, that observation would have never led that hotel manager to inquire of their faith in Jesus Christ. It is a wonderful thing when people's lives are changed so that those lives bring glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight, we see in the Word of God a wonderful process of relationship. We see in the Word of God a perfect pattern, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the ultimate product in ministry, not better stained glass, not a better building, not a better organizational chart, but a people with an inward molding and an outward manifestation that Jesus lives in me and my life is different because Christ has been and is being formed in me. And what a wonderful thing it is not to be a perfect Christian, for none of us are perfect, but to be a growing Christian along the way. Leonard Ravenhill tells the story of a group of tourists who were visiting a very picturesque village. They were sitting beside a fence, and in a rather patronizing way, one of the tourists said to a gentleman on the other side of the fence, "Were any great men born in this village?" The old man replied, "Nope, only babies were born in this village." All of us who are born again, were born again as little babies, and all of us are here tonight on a journey called Christian growth. And may we never forget, the process will always involve biblically based relationships. The pattern should always be to be more like Him. And then the product is when Christ is seen in and through our lives. Oh, it's wonderful to be a part of a church that's striving together for the faith of the gospel. But here's the question: is Christ being formed in you? Would your wife say that you are a more Christ-like man today than 5 years ago? Would your husband say that you are a more Christ-like woman? Would your family, would those closest to you see the growth? They might say, well, from 90 to 97, man, it was like growing like weeds. But how are we doing today? Because as we celebrate the 25th anniversary, it's not the buildings, it's not the things that are produced in the way of publication, it's not all of the other things. What really matters is, are we more like Jesus today than we were yesterday?
Let me remind you that you can receive a daily devotional by logging on at dailyintheword.org. If you'd like more Bible study materials, you can also visit strivingtogether.com. Anything we can do to help and encourage you in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would count that as a great honor. God bless you.